Hello and welcome to St Martin's Church, North Nibley, on this Sunday, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. And it is so lovely to be back. It seems an absolute age. And I've just been looking at the rota, and will you believe it, over a period of 9 weeks up until the end of August, I'm only doing two Sundays. I don't know what I've done wrong. But at least, you know, one of those is back with you in North Nibley. So that's brilliant. I really, really miss you all. So, fifth Sunday after Trinity. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace and mercy and peace be with you and also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for all of us. God's word is for the young children, the teenagers, the old people, the middle people, the rich, the poor, the people on the street, the people in millionaire land. God's word is out there for all of us. May it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path all the days of our life. Lord, speak to us in our everyday lives, in what we think and do, that we may hear your word. Move among us in our everyday life, that we may behold your glory, and receive our prayers, that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for the fifth Sunday after Trinity, that special prayer written just for this one day of the year. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now we come to our readings. And if you've ever wondered what that scratching is that you can hear at this part of every recording that I ever do, it's writing down the time that the sermon's got to be slotted in. So now you know. The first reading is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 to 28, and it looks at the supremacy of the Son of God. And the sermon will be based on this reading. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were the enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully in mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Here endeth the lesson. Now hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 10, beginning at the 25th verse. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who were the Colossians? Colossae was a city in the southwest corner of Turkey, and it was famous for its beautiful red woolen cloth. In 100 BC, the city of Laodicea was founded as an active and commercially aggressive competitor to Colossae. Then, in 17 AD and again in 60 AD, there were earthquakes destroying both cities. Colossae never really recovered, and by the year 400 AD, it had been abandoned. So it is that 2 years after the second earthquake, Paul writes to the Colossians, who are a small church that's been founded by Epaphras, who probably came from Paul's church in Ephesus, also in modern-day Turkey. Paul himself was at that time doing time in a prison cell in Rome. This little church in Colossae had amongst its members husband Philemon, who we are told was an upright leader, Philemon's wife Appia, and their son Archippus. Philemon, the father, had a slave called Onesimus, of whom more will be said later on. But in the meantime, in those days, being a Christian lay hand in hand with some Roman customs, such as keeping a slave, especially for the Gentile members of the Christian band. And it's in this context that makes Paul reading difficult for us, unless we keep that idea going in our head. The emperor, as far as the Gentiles in Colossae were concerned, was the only god worth bothering about. Rome was the force of good and order against the barbarous terrorist chaos that was to be found on the edges of the empire. Paul, on the other hand, totally demystifies this idea by saying that Jesus was the head of everything. He is God that was before, is now, and ever will be. And Paul had the audacity to proclaim not only that all things in heaven and on earth were created through him and for him, but specifically that all thrones, dominions, rulers and powers are subject to his rule. Because of his resurrection, he is the one who will come to have first place in everything. And if it all hangs together, indeed, if all of creation hangs together in Jesus, then Caesar is a pretentious usurper. And Paul isn't finished yet. The rebellion is not yet complete. In an empire that views Rome, or sometimes even the emperor himself, as the head of everything, Paul boldly tells this little church community of Jesus followers in Colossae that Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ, not Rome, not the emperor. And the body isn't the empire, it's the church. Did I mention that Paul was doing time in a prison in Rome? Let's go back to Philemon and his slave, Onesimus. And remember, when we do go back, that Philemon was a Roman citizen and allowed to keep a slave. Onesimus robbed his master, Philemon, and ran away to Rome, where he planned to become invisible and have a new life with his ill-gotten gain. Well, he certainly had a new life, because as he ran from his master, so he came face to face with the living God through his servant Paul. Onesimus, this story, is the classic picture of one who tries to run from God, a good and gracious master, but instead runs right into his arms. Through salvation, the fugitive sinner finds grace, forgiveness, and the freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. I've tried running away from God several times. It doesn't work. The story of Onesimus and Philemon, which you can read in the letter to Philemon, is a beautiful picture of distinction between law and grace. Both Roman law and Moses' law of the Old Testament gave Philemon the right to punish a runaway slave. But the promise of grace through Jesus allowed both master and slave to fellowship in love on an equal basis in the body of Christ. Paul's payment of all of Onesimus' debts parallels Christ's payment for our sins. Philemon's acceptance of Onesimus as a brother in Christ helped lay the foundation for the abolitionist movement centuries and centuries later. Master and slave are equals in Christ. So what is in this for us? Well, first of all, don't try and run away from God. It doesn't work. Secondly, unlike the Roman Empire and the law of Moses, all are equal in the eyes of Jesus. To Jesus, slave and slave master are equal. And that is so important to us when we are thinking about the commandment, love thy neighbour. Thirdly, through the awesome power of God, Paul took on the Roman Empire, and he ultimately won. The empire had gone, and Paul did it. What could God do through us if only we'd trust him and let him do his work through us? Which, incidentally, was the exact same question that came as a result of my last sermon last week in Wootton Underedge. It was a different passage, but it comes back to the same message. Just let God work through you. And Don't be, and fourthly and lastly, don't be too busy, as Martha was, to listen to Jesus. Be like Mary, spend time with Jesus. Amen. Okay, we continue our service with the words of the Creed. We declare our faith in God together. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. And we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we pray for ourselves. We think back over the last few days where we've got it wrong, where we might have done better, where we might not have thought that thought. And we bring it before God, knowing that if we're truly penitent, he will forgive us. Lord God, we've sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our prayers for the world. Everlasting God, at the start of another week, we offer our lives to you. Give us strength to carry out our work and duties faithfully. Deepen our trust in you and help us to build your kingdom today and always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for our church here in North Nibley and the churches in our benefice. We give you thanks for our Village Churches Together team and those who come up with fresh ways of making your name known in the wider community. And for those people who work so hard to make fellowship and fundraising events so pleasurable and financially successful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for our troubled world. Give wisdom to all world leaders to seek some way out of the sufferings of the Middle East and Ukraine. May they strive to seek for a deep and lasting peace which reconciles Muslim, Jew and Christian and the non-religious sects, peoples who share so much of the background to their faith or their no faith. Just help them, Lord, to seek a deep and lasting peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the communities of which we are a part and ask you to guide us to be more aware of our neighbours' needs and ways in which we might help other people in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are ill at home or in hospital. For those who are experiencing extreme pain. And for those anxiously awaiting a diagnosis, treatment, procedure or an operation. We remember those who've had to leave their home, their family home where they raised their children and had so many happy times because they're just too old. They're alone. They've had a fall. They can't look after themselves properly, so they end up in a home. We pray for those people. And we especially pray for those people needing our prayers who are known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. We remember before you those who have died, and pray that they are now experiencing that light of Christ, which eternally shines and brings hope and comfort to the bereaved. And we particularly pray at this time for those members of this North Nibley community who have recently lost husband, father, grandfather. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, receive these prayers and transform us through them, that as we go from our worship today, we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand and the will to get involved, not only what you do on our behalf, but what you call us to do on your behalf. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. May the peace of the Lord be always with each one of you listening today, and also with you. Amen. So we going out to serve in the community. Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases, and those whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love, new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and those that you love this day and forevermore. Amen. So, have a brilliant week and go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.